Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Robert McVeigh. I live at 21 Fairway Avenue in Georgetown. I am the current 2016 president of the Delaware Association of Realtors, and I'm here this evening to speak on behalf of the Sussex County Association of Realtors. Thank you very much for this opportunity to speak. Sussex County Association of Realtors, better known as SCORE, respectfully supports a modern sign ordinance that balances the community aesthetics with protecting property rights in both residential and non-residential areas. SCORE continues to support the majority of the proposed provisions within the sign ordinance version 2 to achieve the above stated goals. However, there remains language that does not support SCORE's core mission as introduced on August 9, 2016, to be heard by Sussex County Planning and Zoning on September 8. The first issue that we have is SCORE continues to respectfully oppose the elimination of movement animation of electronic message centers as outlined in subsection 115.161.1b. Not-for-profit organizations similar to SCORE could find this amendment restrictive and costly to implement. Specifically, after the organization was approved to purchase, install, and operate the sign for informative and revenue purposes. The second issue that we have is SCORE continues to respectfully request that residential and non-residential areas, commercial real estate as defined in Sussex County Zoning Code, are defined separately in the sign ordinance, version two, not the red line. As previously stated, on June 7, 2016, a majority of contacts leads regarding commercial real estate are generated from standalone signage along on-premise commercially zoned properties. Reducing the minimum square footage for non-residential area signs could affect the financial welfare of the citizens of Sussex County, will impact the commercial real estate industry, and may discourage the citizens of Sussex, and may discourage the positive economic development of the county. SCORE supports commercial signage not to exceed 64 square feet. That would be 32 on each side, a 4x8 sign. 32 square feet, double-sided, arranged in a V shape, unless otherwise regulated by municipal or state of Delaware codes. Lastly, we respectfully request that all nonprofit, not-for-profit, private, and public organizations and agencies are required to conform to the proposed sign ordinance version 2 amendments. And I would like to thank you for your consideration and your time and for me to speak. Thank you.
Thank you. You were reading from script. Would you mind giving your
copy?
Give
a copy of that to Mr. Lang just for the minutes. It makes it keep up with.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
Yes, good evening. My name is Bill Lux, and I'm the broker of record and senior advisor at Keller Williams Commercial. I speak to you today as the president-elect of the Peninsula Commercial Alliance, which is part of the Sussex County Association of Realtors. Bob has already mentioned some of the points, but I wanted to talk to you primarily about commercial real estate signage. In the practice of commercial real estate, we have some real concerns. The proposed sign ordinance, our signage is of a temporary nature, running the term of the listing that we have on a particular piece of property. As the sign ordinance is written, as we understand it, it does not distinguish between residential and commercial real estate, which have very different signage needs. The sign ordinance calls for a 10-square-foot sign as a maximum size. This simply does not work. In practice, we use a 4x4 sign, which would be 16 square feet or 32 square feet if it was a double-sided or V sign, and the 4x8 sign that Bob mentioned at 32 square feet or 64. We use these sizes depending on what the property might be, obviously in a high traffic speed area, and we know everyone drives 55 miles an hour, so they can read those signs. We're going to use the 32 square foot sign so that it can be read. We may use some signs in a V configuration, or they might be double-sided. In addition, and if I have interpreted the sign ordinance as written correctly, I would be required to obtain a permit for the installation of what is really a temporary sign. It is not lighted, does not rotate nor flash, and has a static message. On an annual basis, I spend anywhere around $15,000 in signage in order to market my listings. The sale of commercial real estate, of course, generates substantial transfer taxes for the county. I would ask that the ordinance be changed to address the needs of the commercial real estate practitioner. We do not see our current signage practices as offensive, nor are they out of line with the norms used across the country. They are temporary in nature, and even with the technology of today, commercial properties tend to sell from the signage posted on a property. We get calls and stuff, even though we're all over the internet, but the signs are still very important to us. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. And do you have a copy of your...
Yeah.
Can I ask just Mr. Lux or Mr. McVeigh, maybe if you want to come up too on this one? Because I think he's hiding behind you. Maybe. On this, there was an initial misunderstanding that the county had reduced what was required or permitted down to 10 feet, and that's sort of what's already there. I'm anticipating that we're going to get the misunderstanding going forward from folks that are going to think, like, on a residential property, oh my goodness, now I can have, instead of the, you know, the whatever it is, 2x2 sign, that I could have my neighbor with a 32 square foot sign sitting on their residential lot. And I don't want that misunderstanding.
That's why
out
I address the distinction. You need to make a distinction between the residential and the
commercial. Exactly what I had mentioned. We were asking to have a distinction between residential and commercial properties.
Okay. So just so we're clear, the distinction would be 32 on commercial B1, that type of thing, and then
I think the average is about 6 square feet for a residential sign.
Okay. Yeah. Just I wanted to clear that up so that we don't have people show up at council with that misunderstanding.
On the 32, if we double that, then of course it's
We're talking
64.
About per sign.
Per sign.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I just want to make sure so we don't get an army of people, you know, concerned about
the other way.
Big signs in residential communities.
Any other groups? Okay. Who wants to be next? Come on up. Yeah, how you doing, Mr. Phillips?
Good evening, everyone. Ben Phillips, Phillips Hines, Seaford, Delaware. Well, folks, in a few days, it'll be a year since this moratorium on billboards was enacted. Now, I'm with my billboard folks. I agree with a lot of things they're saying, and I'd like to see some of those changes put in effect. But most of the things that... I want to discuss with you is on-premise. I mean, that's what I do for a living. I'm really not in the billboard business. We know this all started with the work committee, which I was on, and when I was first asked to be on this, I thought it was mainly about billboards, and thought it'd be quick and easy, we'd get some good guidelines, and we'd solve this problem.
Well, then, last words.
Lo and behold, in my opinion, because of one individual, all signs were brought into the fold. And I don't think anyone really realized how difficult this was going to be. I, for one, did, because I've been doing this for 35 years. And I've been to many of these hearings. I've been to a lot of municipalities. I've tried to help them, guide them. It's a complex subject. No one's going to grasp it all at once. And it's a tough thing to regulate. Now, as all this has come about after a year, I got to say, what have we gained out of all this? Now, or what are we going to gain if we finally get something in stone here? I mean, is Sussex County going to be a safer place? You know, are we better off? Is it a better place to live? I mean, I just don't understand what this has all been about. I don't think there was that much wrong with what we had. Don't get me wrong, there were some issues. New technologies come into play here. The LED message centers, they were addressed in the code, but vaguely. And there was a lot of gray areas. Now, look, I was all for getting on board with that and coming up with some sensible regulations on it. But, my gosh, we're into every little nut, bolt, screw, pole, everything to do with these things. And I just think it's getting out of hand. Now, as Mr. Hutt has so elegantly put, we are one of the most regulated industries out there. And it's not just Sussex County. It's everywhere. I mean, it's very tiresome. And be careful what you wish for, because there's other municipalities out there that have passed some extremely restrictive sign codes. And even though, as in this business, I tried to warn my customers, you better pay attention to this. It didn't infect them at the time. I don't have time to deal with this. Well, in some towns in Maryland now, they're feeling it. They can't do anything. And it really is anti-business. But it's too late. Those regulations are passed. Now they're fighting a losing battle. I don't want that to turn into this. I mean, what has been brought up is sensible, and the bulk of it I'm in agreement with. But some things here, I mean, I could take you for a ride, and I can show you numerous illegal signs that have been permitted. And I'm not blaming the staff, because I will tell you, the staff at Sussex County, I'm not just saying this, they're one of the best around. They're easy to deal with. As a matter of fact, I just went through a process of getting a new building permit for a building on my property. Everybody warned me this was going to be a nightmare. You are in for a ride. I got to say, it was nothing like that. They were helpful. It went through. I got my permit. I mean, I can't ask for any more than that. They're the same way with signs. But they can't check everything. And I think a lot of things that have been done illegally are the applicant's fault. Because basically, I think they lie. They turn in an application. They say they're going to do this, but they do that. And it comes down to enforcement. I don't think you really have people that are going out there and looking at these signs, what they're put up, and seeing, did they really do what they say they were going to do? Is the setback met? You know, there's already a sign on this property. How did he get another sign on this property? I mean, I can show you numerous things. But even once these violations are noted, it just doesn't seem like anything ever happens with them. I mean, the process, I know there's legalities and people have rights and all that, but how long does it have to go on? I mean, I've seen things that have been out there for over a year, and they're still there. And I know people know that they're not supposed to be there. So, you know, we have all these meetings, and I've been to every one of them. I haven't missed a one. I've taken notes. I know this inside and out. I know it as well as anybody in this room. And at the county council meetings, we went over this line by stinking line. I mean, discussion just seemed endless, and it would get off track. And this man did his best to keep them focused. But it was almost impossible. I mean, it truly was. And how you could follow what was going on, I don't know. But they would discuss, and you know, we were not allowed to say anything, and it was very frustrating. I wanted to get up so many times and scream, but we weren't allowed. But what I had a problem with was we were having votes on consensus, and I don't know exactly what that means. Is that official? Is that binding? You know, is that just a general, okay, we're going to go along with this? But we would have a vote, or they would have a vote, and it would be 3-2, okay, that's what we're going to do. I'd make a note. I'd highlight, I'd go back, and of course, I'd get back to the office. Hey, what did they do? What did they do? Well, this is what they did. This is what we're going to be able to do. We come to the next meeting. It was changed. How can that be? I mean, who authorized the change? Who told them to change this to that? I mean, that's the part that's baffling me about all this. There has to be a better way. So, after reviewing these ordinances, there's only a couple things that I have a problem with. And I would like consideration on change. And the first thing is allowing animation on electronic, on-premise, not off-premise, on-premise electronic messaging, allowing animations. At one of the July meetings, there was a 3-2 vote for a consensus to allow animation. I highlighted it. I exclamation pointed it. First thing I said when I got back to my office, we want animation. I really don't care about anything else now. I got what I wanted. We got what we wanted. Come to the next meeting. No animation. Now, I'm telling you, I don't know where the record is. I don't know how it's written down or whatever, but that vote was taken, and it was approved. So where did that go? And I guess when it comes down to it is, why is animation such a big deal? I mean, what is the problem with it? It's because some people don't like it. Well, just because you don't like it doesn't make it right. I'm sorry. There is nobody has given me a valid reason for not allowing animation. It's not a safety issue. They're not causing accidents. It's just because some people don't like it. Well, I'm sorry. To me, that's not a good enough reason. Now, the main reason that I hear to ban it is because it's so much easier to enforce. Let's just ban it. Let's just ban going driving because it's so difficult. It's easier to enforce if you don't drive. I mean, I'm sorry. That's not a good reason. And look, if the county has a problem with that and they get some legitimate inspectors that want to sit down, and I know my colleagues back there and myself would be willing, we'd hold a seminar. We'll set some signs up. We'll show you what we feel is legal animation. We don't want streaming movies. We don't want live video. Look, folks, it's common sense. You know,
I could take anybody in a week, and we could ride around and we could say, that's illegal, that's not. Don't just tell me because it's easier. I mean, these people invested a lot of money in these signs, and if we lose it, we lose it. I mean, there's nothing I'm going to do about it, but I don't think it's right. You give me a good reason, I'll go along with it, but yet no one's given me one yet, other than it's easier to enforce. I don't buy it. Mr. Hutt has gone over a lot of this, so I'm not going to dwell on it. The one ordinance 115161.1 about not being able to put an on-premise sign has to be 50 feet away from an off-premise sign. Now this one got coddled in there one day because George Cole wants all message setters banned, and the discussion dwelled off to another direction, and the next thing we were talking about is, well, you can't have an on-premise electronic message center next to an off-premise electronic message center, and that's where this whole discussion started. Parts of that maybe I can agree with, but in my opinion, the on-premise sign has precedence. He's a business owner. He's got a piece of commercial property. He should be allowed to put that sign up anywhere he wants. If his neighbor has a billboard over here and he can't get 50 feet above from it, too bad. He should be able to put it up there. If it blocks his billboard, too bad. So I just think that needs to be stricken. The general idea I was getting that day was it all had to do with electronic message center. If you had an electronic message center billboard, any electronic message on-premise sign had to be 50 feet away from it. But the code doesn't say that now. It just says off-premise sign. Yes, sir?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Because you guys know I'm new here. But with the electronic message center,
mm-hmm.
Okay, if you got one over your big grocery store, whatever you're selling, if it rotates every few seconds, does that become... it's an on-premise sign if it's advertising for that business. If it advertises for another business in a few seconds,
can't
does that
do
become
that.
An off?
No, you can't do that. That's easy to regulate. I mean, that no one does that now that I know of.
You have to advertise what's on, even if it's electronic messages.
It has to advertise what business is promoted on that property.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. And it cannot advertise for someone else.
An enforcement issue, like Mr. Phillips told
that's
us.
What I'm, yeah. That's what I'm thinking about. As you're
Look, I've had many customers come to me and say, hey, I'm putting up this big message center, and I'm going to advertise on it. I said, well, you're not going to do it. You can't do it. Oh, yes, I am.
That was my question. Thank
and
you.
I've seen people try to do it. Okay. And enforcement's been good on that. It gets shut down almost immediately. So this separation distance from an on-premise sign from an off-premise sign, I just think it's ridiculous. And I think it needs to be stricken. That's just, you know, my opinion on that. The temporary real estate signs, they already brought up. You know, I can tell you that comes from old school people putting up a sign. What was the best thing sitting around was a 4x8 sheet of plywood, so they put it on there. And just so you know, if you read the code about political signs, they're allowed 32 square feet. So what's good for them is good for us. One last thing. The input from the public into business until tonight, which I'm glad to see some of the real estate people show up, it's just been virtually non-existent. There's been nobody at these meetings. You know, I've heard virtually no negative, positive comments on this whatsoever. I've tried my best to get them involved, but they just don't want to take the time because they don't think it affects them. But like I said earlier about some of these other jurisdictions that have passed these restrictive laws, if and when you start enforcing this, there's going to be a lot of collateral damage. That's when people are going to know what's happened. And one of the best examples, and I'm not picking on them, but it's the one that's most obvious, your farm markets, you go by there, they got hundreds of illegal signs. And they're advertising, they got a 4x8 up that says they're 2 miles away. Look, I don't have a problem. A lot of my friends and my customers, it doesn't bother me one bit. But if you do this and you start enforcing it, those signs are going to come down. And that's when these people are going to say, what in the heck is going on? And what are you going to do? Give them a variance? Can't have a variance. So, I don't know. Just be careful what you wish for here. Because by the time they realize what's happening, I think it's going to be too late. And I just want to see something that's fair to everybody here. And like I said, in the end, as an organization, I know that the other sign people and I would be willing to help on this any way we can. We have been all along. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Who's next? Sir.
Good evening, P&Z Commission. Jason Dean, Bridgeville, Delaware. I own JD Sign Company. I've here tonight to echo Mr. Hutt and Mr. Phillips' on some issues. First, I want to start off with saying Sussex County is the best jurisdiction in the state of Delaware in which to do business, and I'd like to keep it that way. What has been proposed, as Mr. Phillips just stated, we don't need to go over all that again, it would not be good for business, would not be good for jobs. I feel that we have been more than fair. The county has proposed increasing our permit fees for signs. Yearly we pay these, or our customers pay these. Not one of us has complained about increased permit fees. Based on you're going to hire an enforcement officer that's going to go out and do sign enforcement. Based on much of what I've heard, and again, like Mr. Hutt and Mr. Phillips and others, we've been here for hours. We've listened to the back and forth, and we've heard that there essentially hasn't been any enforcement to this point. I think that would fix a lot of these problems that we're discussing instead of adding more regulation. I'd rather start with more enforcement and not as much regulation. We have also all agreed and helped, and we've worked together with common sense brightness standards on electronic message signs. We all agree that there should be brightness standards. That's more regulation. We're okay with that because it's good regulation. We've heard a lot of opinions and feelings on signs, but not many facts and figures based on prohibiting animation. As I'm the younger guy in the crowd, I guess, they've kind of looked to me for the as the expert on the animation and the nits and the measurement of the brightness and all those things, computer and electronic, with the electronic signs. So if you guys have any questions about the brightness, and again, I agree that a sign that is too bright, an electronic message sign that is too bright, is distracting. Absolutely. But as soon as you fix that brightness to an acceptable standard, and offering, we have also offered to prohibit flashing, live video streaming, and continuous scrolling. I think we've got a good common sense proposal with what Mr. Hutt has put forward. In the ordinance that is proposed here, I saw a couple other conflicting issues in regards to EMCs, electronic message signs. And my notes are all over the place here, so if you guys have any questions on animation or brightness that you would like me to answer, if we would want to get through that section, if you have anything.
I guess I do, just because you brought it up on the brightness.
Yeah, go ahead.
Because Mr. Hutt brought up something
sure. On
the wording of it. In here there was two different standards.
Yeah, nit is an output of the sign.
Right, no, I got that because I know we went through that.
Yep.
And, so I'm okay with the both of them.
Okay.
The chart.
0.3 point candle power above ambient.
Yeah, are they
ambient?
The same that's in here that's proposed? The point, that's 750 nits versus 0.3 foot candles. Is that the...
It's two different things. It's input and output.
No, I know that.
Sure.
Because my thought is, though, is that no matter which one's used to enforce, is it going to have the same visual result?
It's going to be darn close.
Okay.
The ambient thing, it's all pretty good. I mean, you got to get pretty technical in the back end, and you got to know what the nit capability of the sign is initially to get into the back end and find out what the
right.
percentage is.
And then my question is not so much on the technical side. It was
sure.
more on the wording of it. It was like comply with one of the following, and I was thinking that, and that was something Mr. Hutt proposed. My concern was then you've got to choose one, and it seems like if they're both the same and you can use either of them, my question was whether they're the end result they're both the
same. You know, you can probably get rid of the nit And with the light meter that is going to measure foot candle power, because it gathers, well, I think it talks about the ambient light. So in here, you know, obviously you have ambient light. So then you crank your monitors up until they're at acceptable viewing level of brightness based on, you know, like during the day, everybody's looking at their phone because the sun's shining on it. You can't see your phone. So what do you got to do? You turn the brightness up, right? And then at nighttime, oh man, this thing's too bright. You turn your brightness back down. And the signs now all have capability to do it automatic. Every one I sell does it automatic by itself. It's a non-issue. So I think that language in there is just to help the county. If there's a malfunction or a complaint when there is one, and there's some out there, in my opinion, yes, they're absolutely too bright right now as based on the ambient light that's around them. But with the meter and that 0.3 above, I think that's a pretty good place to start. And basically, you guys need some baseline to go out and enforce this if there is a complaint. So, you know, if there was signs that are overly bright, and again, there's a few, I would think that you would be already receiving complaints about them. And you could easily go in and talk to the business owner and the sign operator and educate them. Hey, just turn the percentage down a little bit on the back end. It doesn't have to be that hard. And I think most folks would say, look, your sign is so bright at nighttime, it hurts my eyes and I can't read it. Well, that's not helping you sell your product if you can't read your sign because it's too bright. We fix brightness. The rest of it's a non-issue, in my opinion. And we actually have data that backs up that animation is not dangerous. But the flashing, all day long, I agree, flashing of light to dark with over-brightness is an absolute issue. Let's start there. So.
No, that helps me out.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm just trying to clarify something.
Yeah, I understand. We're in the weeds here with all this. So, any more explanation I can give on the brightness animation? I want it to be as clear as possible. And another thing I think we've had some issue with is off-premise, on-premise. Is it an off-premise electronic message sign or is it on-premise? Maybe we should just call off-premise electronic message signs billboards. I think it would be a little more easy to understand because I've got some customers of mine that they're scared to death. Well, you know, on premise and off premise, because you hear these statements and these feelings and these opinions that aren't based on fact, and my customers are getting worried, which means less sales. So anyway, so I wanted to go. I've got a note here, page 13 on the proposed ordinance, not the Mr. Hutt version because I don't have that. Page 13, section 5, talks about the wall signs, and I just caught this evening. Says, in addition, each store, shop, office, or similar unit shall be permitted an on-premise illuminated awning, marquee, projecting wall sign, or electronic message display, not exceeding a combination of signs. We can stop there. I agree with all that. That section contradicts itself. And I agree with section 5 there on page 13 with the wall signs. Where it contradicts itself is if you go to the EMC section, it says that we're only allowed one EMC per street or road frontage. So if we put an electronic message sign on a building and on the pylon that's out front, that would then be two. So I would like to ask for clarification that it does not, in the EMC section, let me find that here, and that was section 11A, 2 and 4. bear with me if you will, and I'll give you the page number. Page 22. So that would be section 11, section A, subsection 2. In C1, general commercial, blah, blah, blah. On-premise electronic message center is permitted, provided that only one on-premise electronic message center is permitted per street or road frontage per parcel. I'm asking for that one, maybe that one should be changed to two, so we can have one on the building as well. Because I believe that contradicts what's written in the first section as it pertains to wall signs. I have another concern. If we have too many sections that address EMCs, I think if you, again, we got a 30-page document here. We can condense it a little bit by having one section that addresses electronic message signs instead of putting it throughout all three or four zoning districts. If we could have it all in the EMC section and then based on district. The only other thing is I know that the realtors had spoke about the 32 square feet and you guys were talking about a distinction between commercial and residential for a 4x8 sign. The issue I see potentially is you've got a 200-acre farm with a 18x24 yard sign where you could easily put a 4x8 real estate sign on that farm that is zoned AR1 residential, and because on a farm that size, obviously, you need that size sign. And honestly, we're talking most of these signs will probably be in a 50 or 55 mile per hour zone, I would assume, based on where the farms need signs for sale and such. And if there's a residential concern, I believe that most of the homeowners associations now would address the size of a realtor sign. Other than that, I appreciate your consideration of what Mr. Hutt said, the Realtors Association, and Mr. Phillips, and myself have said. I hope you put that into your final vote here. And we as the sign industry do not want signs to be dangerous and distracting. We want them to be appealing and informative so our customers are successful and keep Sussex County as the best jurisdiction in the state of Delaware in which to do business. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Mr. Rogers.
Lynn Rogers, 110 Lavinia Street, Melton, Delaware, Rogers Signs. Not going to be redundant. I'd like to thank Mr. Hutt for all the time and effort he's put into this. I support what Mr. Dean said and Ben Phillips also. I think it's crucial that the thing that got started on this thing, we had the committee that Ben and myself and many here attended every meeting. None of that became part of the document we're at today. It was a waste of time. But, you know, I want to thank Lawrence for all the time he's putting headaches in this thing. It don't sound like he got hurt sometimes. The back in 2007 and 8, Lawrence spent 2 years writing an ordinance that we have today. Mr. Rolfe, to answer your question, you know, why we were here is because Board of Adjustment had a concern of the number of Board of Adjustment hearings and applications because of something that happened 30 years ago. People wanted to go back to 600 square feet on major highways and 35 feet high, what it used to be. And it got cut back to 325 feet, and that's where all the variances were coming from. If that had been addressed in the ordinance that Mr. Lank created in 2007-8, that's all you got to do, enforce it. As we all know, government is complaint-driven, and you don't go out looking for work because you got enough of it as it is, and that's where it was coming from. So the ordinance that we had was fine. It just needed to be enforced. The big confusion at all the meetings and all the committees and the council just couldn't grasp it, on-premise versus off-premise. They should have just did off-premise, period, and stopped, and then did on-premise. Because it was like a badminton game that day at the county council. Went back, and none of them could grasp what was going on. So I just encourage you to, as Mr. Dean stated, common sense approach. It's got to a point now where Ben said it was been a year now since we started this. And it's starting to cost. I've had several orders canceled now because, you know, Mr. Cole was on the radio saying, you know, we're going to make everything static and we'll get on with business and that'd be easy enforcement. And it's starting to cost money now. It's got a bit ridiculous. Nationwide, all billboards are static, even in Las Vegas. They don't move. It goes up for 10 seconds real time, and then it changes. Nothing moves on billboards, period. On-premise signs, different story. One thing that was confusing during the presentation, Mr. Sharp, during to the county council, was the animation occurred when it changed. Animation's when it's up there for the 10 seconds and something's moving. Besides just, you know, no live streaming. Mr. Hutt put it in definition what it should be, and that's correct. But there is animation that's movement during that 8 seconds of some type, but not a lot. They couldn't grasp what that was. So in closing, I just encourage you to take a little different approach. I was surprised the document that came out of PNZ that on the original ordinance that went to council, some of the things that were in there was not really business friendly. And but I think if it's all grasped now from the going through this again, that this time we got a better product when it goes to council. I think that you know, it'll be a workable thing when it's done. We had no problem with the increase in fees. That was something we've enjoyed for a lot of years, but the county wasn't covering their cost. But that needs to be taken care of, and I don't think anybody has a problem with that. But people just want to do business without a lot of red tape. It's got to the point now that we have two people on staff. That's all they do all day long is permits, setbacks, regulations. And it gets to be really frustrating. Sometimes you go to work and, you know, you run into a foot variance or something like that. And I think it would be really detrimental to the government and people to take the right away of a variance process. Because as soon as you start saying no variances, there's going to be something come up that's not addressed in the ordinance. Just like Mr. Robbins was just stating a while ago about the bowling alley and the storage place down the street. Those situations are going to occur, and they're going to have to be addressed. But if you don't give a person a right to speak to their government about their concern, they're just stopped in their tracks, and that's not good. So I agree with Mr. Hutt said and the other gentleman, and thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers.
Thanks, Mr. Rogers.
Who's next? Yes, sir.
Hi. Charlie Towers, Tower Signs in Seaford. They pretty much said, I just wanted to support that. Two things is, again, I've been doing this close to 40 years, and I've only maybe applied for 8 or 10 variances, period. So I don't know if it's overdone. I've not overdone it myself. I've usually come when there's an issue, so I don't think you could eliminate any variances. I mean, I've done one maybe every 5 or 6 years, so it's not like I've abused it, but there are times when it's needed. And I've had a couple in my own place. I own Towers Plaza in Seaford, and we've had a couple there. The other thing is, they've talked about the MCs and all that. If I talk for my constituents, with my clients, the real estate companies are just going nuts. They're eating my phone up. You know, if you take a sign that's smaller than that bench, and it fits 5 mile an hour zone, which we know is all being done at 65 mile an hour zone, and put 3-inch lettering on it, and if we got charts to tell us what's visible, it ain't gonna work. You know, and pretty much 32 square feet's been on commercial. I'm like them, I don't think it should be residential. You know, 2'3" residential signs, perfect. But that ain't gonna get it on a highway doing 65, you know, when people are going through and trying to see what's for sale. I think the real world is it's the 4x4s and the 4x8s. That's what we do, 4x4s and 4x8s. And so I think you ought to reconsider that. But other than that, I think it's all been said, and thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Powers. Who's next? Anyone else?
Paul Ricker, 18171 Deer Forest Road, Georgetown, Delaware. Back to originally when this first came out with definitions, There was a whole bunch of them concerning in there. And with the new code and looking at this, I apologize, I got two teeth pulled today. So I mumble worse than I normally do. But in 159.1, you go to number three, it says non-illuminating on-premise sign not to exceed 6 square feet, identifying permitted a home occupation premises or permitted it on a farm of 5 acres or more. Then you go back to number four, the one right underneath it, non-illuminated signs not to exceed 3 signs, not to exceed 32 square feet, truck garden, orchard, nursery, commercial greenhouse, produce sale, public stable, coming back in. But where it comes into on a 5 acre farm, what is exactly a farm? I look at an orchard or the orchard or something like that, is that a farm? When you look at 4 versus 3, does a smaller acreage have more right than the farmer who's 5 acres? What exactly is the definition for a farm? I've been asking for a while with other things that I've said. The state has a definition of a farm. Ken has a definition of a farm. But the way that this is wrote, does a person growing, having an orchard, a commercial orchard on 1 acre, have like a 5 acre farm? Where is the difference? What exactly is a farm? There's nothing in our code. It seems like everything in our permitted uses is under 5 acres gets more leeway than over 5 acres. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Going once. Going twice. Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I don't.
No, sir.
Ms. Cornwell.
No, thank you.
Ms. Bright?
No.
Mr. Robertson.
No, I don't. Not at this point.
Okay, go ahead. David, you have anything else you want to add?
The only point I would make as far as a timetable, I know there's a lot to digest. I know Commissioner Burton had mentioned that he would like some time to review it. As far as a timing standpoint, we do have a hearing before County Council on this matter on the 20th, and the moratorium is through, I believe it expires on the 11th of October. That would leave, from the commission standpoint, one meeting between now and the expiration of that moratorium. There are several County Council meetings scheduled in that interim as well.
So sure. Okay.
I want to at least bring that to the commission's attention.
Okay, with that, we'll close the public hearing on the sign ordinance. And Mr. Robertson, I think, as some people may want to leave as we do other business, I don't know that we'll be able to get through any kind of a motion tonight with all that's been discussed.
Yeah, you know, if you all want to defer it, and perhaps if you just want to do that now, it's up to you all, you know, just so that the sign folks don't have to stick around. But certainly there was a lot of information that was presented, a whole alternate ordinance, even though it was pared down in terms of what sort of the issues and contentions were. It may be worthwhile, and you know, it seems like it's not undoable to get it done next meeting, you know, and that leaves plenty of time for council still, if that's what you're thinking.
I agree with that. I think what Mr. Hutt has brought up again, it's starting to make sense, and I think what Mr. Dean addressed as far as the realtor sign with the you know, with that AR, you know, I think we got to, you know, because there are some big farms that, you know, that I think that's got to be addressed. I don't think that was addressed in Mr. Hutt's deal.
And I think we can craft some language that takes care of that. That was a good point. You know, maybe we look at, you know, signs for the sale of a dwelling, because we have a definition of a dwelling right. Would be a certain size, you know, and anything else could be, you know, up to 32 square feet. I have to think about that, but I think that there's a way to make that distinction so that people don't have the incorrect assumption they could get a 32 square foot sign in their neighbor's front yard.
Right.
You know, yeah.
So, okay, well,
I liked what I heard. I just If you think we got enough time, then let's...
We can do that. Okay, just for the, I think someone said, what is the definition of a consensus? Well, gentlemen, you just heard what a definition of a consensus is. It's kind of an understanding that we're going to work on this between now and next meeting, and we're going to try to do our best to come up with a decision by next meeting and digest all the information provided. And I think, Mr. Robinson, we'll follow our normal protocol, and we'll just wait on this until the end of our meeting, and most likely we'll have a motion for a deferral. Thank you. If anyone decides to leave, please leave quietly. We still have other items of business to conduct.
Mr. Ross, just one statement, and I agree with what you said. I just want to clarify for the members of the public. I don't want there to be an assumption that there's going to be some meeting that occurs that's not advertised among the commission. What may happen is individual commissioners may talk to me about crafting a motion, but there's not some type of offline meeting that occurs, just so that there's not any misunderstanding with the public.
Mr. Robertson becomes our lightning rod. Man, we pray he stays grounded. Thank you. Our first item of other business is Americana Bayside Shoals at Sunridge.
Thank you,
Mr. Sherrill.
Thank you. This is a revised preliminary site plan for Americana Bayside.